If we had a lot of time, we could go into a lot of this different parts of the gospel, but faith is receptivity, right? Is the receiving of truth. And only the Holy Spirit can move us to do that. But we can resist him. And that's, you see, we know this guy. He used to live down the street there. You know, and all his relatives are around. We don't have to go in this morning. We don't have time. Brothers and sisters, I mean, like, if you'd ever lived in that part of the world, or you have, you know. Relationships are I'll give you an example. You remember Sirhan Sirhan, who shot Teddy Bobby Kennedy? Yeah, well, on my first day at the Ecole Biblique in Jerusalem, there was Bishara Asi was the cook, and he lived there with his family. And so I said, bonjour, bonjour, everything's in French over there, at the Ecole Biblique et Archéologique Française. But the minute they knew I was an American, they had to explain that they were a very distant relative of the fellow who shot Teddy Kennedy. But, you know, they're taking their... Because relative, you know? We can hardly remember our mother's birthday, for heaven's sake, you see, but they're different. And so they were... I'm an American. One of their very distant relatives shot an American. They've got to get that all worked out between me. And so, I mean, we know this fellow. His family's right down the street. Therefore, he's no better than we are. What does he think he's doing, you see? And so he was not able to perform any mighty deed there. That's amazing, isn't it? It isn't that he couldn't force himself on that. It isn't that he doesn't have the power to do that. It's that there's no openness. There's no... and so he healed a few sick people, but that's all. What he could have done for them had they been open. And now today we would have all kinds of saints among his family, but we don't. Part of his family still lives in two millennia, but they're still part of it, you know, part of his family. Over in Shepherdam. The point is, let not what is familiar pass by unnoticed, like Mass. I mean, there are people in concentration camps and stuff all over the world yearning for one more Mass. And we're given it every day to prepare us for whatever is going to be happening with us. Okay. Brothers and sisters, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. A lot have, all over the world. But you've also forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children on the book of wisdom, or Sirach. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord. So what is the discipline of the Lord? Well, it can be misunderstanding or sickness or go broke or whatever. But it's the Lord training us. Training us. You know, we're very happy to be Christian provided everything goes well. You know? And yet, this, he's saying here, you see, endure your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be faithful to him. He has such plans for us in his heart that we be so united to him that he can look on us and rejoice, that he can use us to bring many other people to God, to himself. And so he's got to shape us up. And that's a lot of work. And yet, his hand is exquisite, isn't it? We never get more than we can handle. And if we don't run away, we'll get holy. We'll be pleasing to God. We'll know God. We'll know him as our Father. That's what he wants of us. Because you've got to turn around and tell a lot of people about him. And so that's what he says, you see. God treats you as his sons and daughters, but of course in this culture at that time, they don't have to add that, you know. For what son his father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. Now you can tell we're getting toward the end of the letter, right? The author is now saying, I'm getting ready to leave you now, and I have this advice for you. Things are tough at times. These people are being persecuted. They have friends in jail. And so he's telling them that, you know. And then strive for peace with everyone. There's a couple. They're homeschoolers. They don't come around much anymore. They're too far away. But when they lived closer, they had a neighbor, next door neighbor, who was just as disagreeable as he could be. At Christmas time, they made him a nice big cake and brought it over. Merry Christmas. He slammed the door in their face. And so they had to figure out what to do about that. So they prayed. They greeted him all the time when they saw him on the street. And just before they moved, he was waving across the street, hello, hello, to them. They won him over. Now that's, you see, what it's saying here. Strive for peace with everyone. That's work, you see. And for that holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. That's interesting. Can there be a holiness and you still don't see the Lord? Isn't that what it's implying? Well, kind of. That's the whole point of purgatory, isn't it? We're holy. The Trinity lives in us. You know, we're great, but we're not too great. We need more purification. And that purification is, we're on fire with yearning, and it burns us up. That's the gift of tears, even in this life, isn't it? To see what our sins really are and see them in the light of the mercy of the Father, we weep. And that weeping, as the old fathers of the church said, see, that's the second baptism. That purifies us. So, that's among his parting pieces of advice for us.